Hello, and welcome back to another. Fred, what are you doing over there?
I can't. Hold on, my Audacity's not recording. Why do I look so confused?
I can see your face. I'm like, this bitch isn't even listening to me give the goddamn intro. Like, hello? Are you here?
Okay, there we go. I'm on. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Relatable.
I'm dead. I gotta go. I'll talk to you later. Oh my God, I'm dead.
Oh my God. It's been a rough fucking week. Give me a break.
Nobody knows. Nobody gets it. First of all, I wake up to my lovely alarm at 3:55 a.m. Love and that. I finally get out of bed at 4:15 to my period starting. So yay for Thursdays.
Yeah.
And then I asked you how you were feeling today. And you're like, starting my period today. I'm like, what are the odds?
I'm early. I'm early, but you know, here it is. But it's been a rough week. Like, I was in ER on Tuesday all night.
Right. When you texted me that, I was like, wait, what? What's going on?
Oh my God. So
first of all, I just need to say, I never know you're in the ER because you don't post it on Instagram. Didn't you know you're supposed to take a picture of your armband and your hospital gown?
Let's be honest. Like, the amount of times I've been in the ER, like, people would be like, oh, this bitch is there again. Like,
can you imagine?
Oh,
that
here
was like
again.
Us with Miles, the first year he was alive. It was like every 2 weeks we were in the urgent care. You're like, oh, right.
People would have my medical record number memorized by now. Like,
literally.
It would be stupid. But,
I'm totally teasing. But yes, okay, what happened?
Yeah, so I was in the ER. So basically, I've been having like these abdominal pains for, I don't know, like off and on for kind of the last week. And then Tuesday I woke up and I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, is really bad. So I could barely get out of bed. I was barely walking, like just excruciating pain on like a 7 or 8 all day long. So I still went to work because it felt better when I was like sitting down. So I was like, well, I sit all day at work on the computer, so I'll do what I can. But by the time I got off work, first of all, like, you know, by the end of the day, you're just exhausted. Everything hurts more. Like, always when you're sick, it's always worse at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I called my mom when I got off work and I was like in tears. It hurts so bad. Like, stabbing, throbbing.
Yeah.
Aching, cramping, like everything you can think of. So I was like crying. My mom's like, you need to go in. She's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, obviously I'm on blood thinners. Like, I don't know what's going on, but shit can get serious really fast. So I ended up going in. I was honestly really impressed. I was only in the ER for a grand total of 5.5 hours. And I feel like that should be a fucking record.
That's really quick.
It was so fast. So when I checked in, first of all, I checked in and the triage nurse, she was like, do you have any health conditions? I was like, yes. And she goes, do you have Marfan? Like, immediately knew what I had. And I was like, yeah, how do you know? And she's like, I can just tell. She's like, it's a disease that just really interests me. And I study it on my free time.
Whoa. And I was like,
oh shit. And so I told her and she was like, okay. And it's like the pain is very low abdominal, like pelvic bone.
Yeah.
And so she's like, do you have any cysts, like ovarian cysts? And I was like, honestly, I think I've been told once that I had one, but like, I don't know. I never asked any more about it. And she's like, okay. So she was like, I'm going to need a couple samples. She's like, but I'm going to rush them. And I was like, okay. So she rushed them. I spoke to a doctor. They did all these exams. They did ultrasounds. They did all kinds of stuff. And basically they ended up finding that I do have an ovarian cyst that has enlarged one of my ovaries the ovary is now larger than my uterus. Like,
Jesus.
I'm sorry if this is TMI for anybody, but it's now larger than my uterus. And so it's obviously causing pain, a lot of pain. People say, like, people with PCOS and stuff like that, they have multiple cysts that cause all this inflammation and stuff like that. And they always say how painful it is. And now I kind of get it. Like,
back.
This shit is so rough. So the doctor was like, right now it's not life-threatening, but you do need to follow up. Like, you, this does need to be checked on regularly. You do need like constant care on this. And so she sent me on with pain meds and I made an appointment to go get checked up on. So for now.
But today, do you still feel better?
This morning I was like in almost no pain. Like it's been getting a little less, but this morning I was in almost no pain at all. But by the time I got off work, I was hurting.
Okay.
So.
But it wasn't as bad as Tuesday.
No. I probably look so stupid walking around. I'm just like pushing in on my lower stomach and like kind of bending over. I feel like I'm like waddling or something, but whatever. I'm
sorry.
I told Christian, I was like, I'm going to feel so stupid if I just like didn't know I was pregnant this whole time and I'm having a baby or something ridiculous. Like I'm going to feel like such an idiot.
Girl.
Like there's a whole TLC show about it. Like right. I knew what happens.
Right.
And some women still have their period while they're pregnant. Like, but I was like, I swear I'm going to feel so stupid. And he was like, I just told him that today. And he goes, I honestly thought you may be pregnant. Like, I honestly, that was a thought that went through my head. I was like, oh, God.
I'm sure it is quite often. Right. You know what I mean? When there's still possibility.
So I am not, though. Test is negative. Just really big fucking cyst.
Sorry, Lee. Yep. I am. I was healing from my miscarriage, I was getting checked like weekly. And I ended up having a cyst on both ovaries. And one was like, really a lot larger than the other. But what she told me, which I didn't know, is that cysts like develop in your cycle naturally to help your ovary release an egg because they pop and that's what helps release an egg. So it's totally natural to get cysts. However, the size of them is what can become concerning.
Right.
Because, you know, like your doctor told you, if it gets too big, your ovary will twist,
right,
which kills the fallopian tube, which then requires like for you to lose a whole ovary. Yeah. So it can be worrisome. So I was checked and then I went in once and I knew it had popped. Like I felt it pop one day when I was just at work and I was just like, oh, like it was just relief. I wasn't in pain, but I was like in that pain where you're so bloated, it hurts. That's like what I felt all the time. And then I felt it pop and I felt like a relief and I was like, whoa, that was wild. I felt that.
Right.
Because it was a larger one. And then sure enough, I went back and it was gone. So
they were saying that they're almost worried that if for it to just pop on its own, because they don't know, because of my blood thinners, they don't know if it'll cause bleeding.
Shit.
So she was like, if you start like bleeding a lot, or if you start vomiting, she's like, you need to come in immediately because that would be an emergency.
Well, that's what's frustrating. That's taking you so long to get an appointment because
I'm going to try other places though.
I think you should, because I'm like, that should be like a rushed order of like next day calling your OB, like you got to see this girl. I'm worried about the cyst. Like we got to get checked out. You know what I mean?
Well, and I don't have a set OB, like I'm not getting pregnant. I'm not trying to get pregnant.
Right, I go in
for my every 3-year checkup. And like, so I don't have a set OB. So I called wherever the last place I went and made an appointment, but they could only get me in a month. And so I think I'm just going to call other places and see if I can get an appointment sooner and just kind of explain what's going on. Be like, I need help.
I would just say I was in the ER 4 days ago and this is why, and I would really like to get an appointment to make sure this cyst is not worse.
Right. So especially since there's still pain and there's still, and I was kind of reading up on them a little bit after I got the diagnosis, and I know you're not supposed to like WebMD yourself.
Right.
Like I get that, but I was kind of researching it a little bit and it says that you are at a higher risk for ovarian cysts if you're on blood thinners.
Interesting. You're
also at a higher risk if you don't ovulate, which the birth control I'm on prohibits me from ovulating at all.
Oh.
And so I probably just have all these like all these ready to go eggs, like ready to drop that are never dropping.
Weird.
So
yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but I gotta figure it out and
Whatever it is it great?
Yeah. I'm not having a good time with it. And at this point, I don't care if they take it all out because I'm not fucking using it anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
You poor thing. I'm sorry, friend.
I know. Christian's like, could you imagine if they take it all out and you just go into menopause? And I was like, yeah, you think I'm rude now. Wait, just wait.
Wait.
He's like, I know. Maybe they won't have to do that.
I can't. That is why women go into menopause when we're late 50s, 60s, because by that time, the men are stuck and they're older and they've learned to let shit go.
Right.
So at that point, they're not irritated. But a 35-year-old dealing with a, you know, menopausal woman might be slightly different.
Right. Oh my God. I was like, are you just going to like trade me in for a newer model? I was like, I kind of feel like a 97 Corolla or something right now. Like super fucking reliable. Don't always break down. But when I do, it's really expensive.
I'm dead. I gotta go. I can't come back from that. Oh my God. Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I'm not well.
We need to find you a therapist. You just call yourself a 97 girl. Girl, 97 girl, I can't. Okay.
Oh my God. So funny.
Shit has been rough. This week.
It's been a week.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this week either. And then like my period just sent me over the edge. I just like mentally have been spiraling, trying to keep it together.
Right.
Barely hanging on. And then yesterday, Miles had his first cardiology checkup in 6 months.
How'd that go?
And it honestly went so well. So 6 months is a lot of time between, you know, appointments when you're that little, because he's like a totally different person. Mm-hmm. And I brought Alakai with me, not knowing if they would let him in, but they were nice. They let him come in with me. So like that helped Miles's mood a bunch.
I'm sure. So
the first thing they always do is to try to get his blood pressure, which is either like an armband reading or on his leg. Mm-hmm. And every time he freaks the fuck out, screams, cries, like it's never a good reading. Right.
Right.
So this time he was so well behaved. He just held his arm down. Like I played a YouTube video and he's like, towards the end, you know, when your hand like gets purplish, he's like, like uncomfortable, but he did so good.
Right.
So I was like, sweet. Like, okay, we're making
going to be a good day.
Right. So then we go into the room. They need an EKG. We didn't end up doing an echo. It was just an EKG that visit.
Okay.
And so the guy's being super sweet. Like, okay, these are stickers. I'm going to put them on you. And Maya's like laying on my chest. And he's just like watching with this really serious face. But he's fine with it. I'm like, wow, look at that. Oh, wow. Oh, look at that. You know, trying to make it like seem cool.
Okay.
And I'm still playing like Blue's Clues on YouTube. And then he hooks up the wires to all the stickers and he's still like sus, like looking around. Right. Like, I don't know about this. So then I lean back. He's like lounging on me and he's not moving at all.
But
which is nice because usually he's like ripping off the stickers, ripping off the cords. He's just not moving at all. And he's just like, so I pull out my phone to see what his face is doing because I'm like dying at how still he is.
Right.
And he's just like deadpanned, staring, like frozen. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm not even going to move a muscle. Like, what the fuck is this?
Well, good. Because with those, you're not supposed to move.
Right.
At all.
I've never had that happen. Like the very first EKG we did after he got out of the hospital, girl, was a fucking nightmare.
I bet.
Screaming, crying. So I'm like giving him a bottle to help him calm down. Chugs the whole bottle. Finishes with the EKG. I pull him up to burp him, vomits all over the room, over me. And I'm thinking in that moment, what the fuck did I get myself into? Like, what is about to happen?
For people that don't know, an EKG is where they put, they put 12 stickers all over your chest. They put one on each wrist, one on each ankle, and then they hook up a cord to each one of those stickers and they monitor your heart rate. It's like getting like the standard heart rate line that you would see, I don't know, as like an emoji or whatever. Yeah, that's what they're monitoring to make sure his heart is beating properly. So,
right.
But it's a bunch of wires. Like there's this huge box and it's this big machine it's connected to. Like it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. I'm glad that he laid there.
It was so nice. Like I was so impressed. And when he was in, I was like, yay. And he loves applause. So he's like, oh, yeah. Like looking around. He's like, yeah. Yeah, so that was nice. Then his doctor comes in and he's like, okay. He's like, how did he do with his blood pressure reading? I was like, he did good. And he's like, okay, it's a little high for him still being on like blood pressure meds. So I think we're going to get another reading. I was like, okay. And so then he's talking. He's like, yeah, so, you know, I think we'll do another echo at the next visit. And the EKG looks okay. Like, let me, you know, listen. And Miles is always notorious for freaking the fuck out about everything, right?
Right.
So his doctor was like, okay, it's okay now. Here, I'm just going to take a listen because he knows he's going to freak out. And Miles was so calm, just like let him listen to his chest and his heart.
Wow.
And so his doctor's like, oh, okay, good job. He's like, okay, now for the second hard thing. And he always like feels for his pulse in his lower legs, like near his groin. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to do this. And Miles just laying there looking at me like, what the hell? But he's laying there and I'm like, you're okay. Good job. You're okay. He's like, wow. Okay. Strong pulse. He's like, I'm impressed, Miles. Like, yeah.
He's like, finally, this kid is not screaming in my face.
Right. I'm like, he's found a slight bit of chill, slight. And so he's like, ask me all the questions. Is he eating well? Is he get out of breath easily? Like all this stuff. And he's like, is he active? And me and Alki look at each other and Alki's like, huh. And then he's like, yes. I was like, yeah, that meant he's very active, maybe too much. And he's just like, oh, okay. Well, that's good though. That's good.
Right. Especially in the middle of the night.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. But then his doctor was like, okay, so couple things we need to schedule the echo just because, you know, like I've always said, we're gonna watch him closely. I'm never gonna rule out intervention happening in the future, blah blah blah. I'm like, I know. He's like, the second thing is I'm not gonna be at La Mullina anymore. I am actually leaving. And I was like, oh no, where are you going? So then he tells me where he's going. It's like a really nice like university children's hospital, like at a nice university near us. So I was just like, oh, that's so good for you. Like, I'm so happy for you. I start crying. I was like, I'm really sad though. Just like crying. I'm like, you don't know what you've meant to me, my family. And we're so appreciative to you. He's like, oh no, of course, of course. And I was like, it's just been a really hard year and a half. And it was just nice to always be able to trust and like believe in you. And you really brought us a lot of peace. And then he's like, well, thank you. Like, no, it's been my honor or whatever. And then he was like, he's going to be okay. He's a strong, cute kid. I was like, thank you. And then he was like, do you have anyone else that you connected to at the hospital that like you would like to switch to? And I was like, no, like whoever you recommend is fine with me. Like, I trust you. And so then he like recommended someone. I was like, you know, he also does the heart catheters like I do, and I'm sure Miles will need more in the future. So it'd be nice for him to be the one performing it. And he's like, and he's a very nice man. I think his personality would get along with you. I was like, okay, like all sad. Whatever you say.
I know.
So ridiculous.
It's so hard because you just like connect with your doctors and even the nurses. Like I still will randomly at like my appointments now because the pediatric section and the adult section is connected by like a hallway. And so sometimes I'll even see my pediatric nurse over in the pediatric section. I'll like run over there and be like, hi. So
Miles.
Yeah, you just like connect with people. And I know you're one of thousands that they see weekly.
Right.
But they do remember. Like it's not.
Well, and for Sam and I, Miles's first 5 days of being alive, we had no idea what was going on. And that's a long time to not know why your baby's in the NICU, but he is, and he's not well, and he looks gray. What the fuck is going on?
Right.
And so I will never forget like driving home from the hospital that fifth night. And like I had held him and I just like, was like sobbing because in my head, I was like, I do not want to bury my baby. Right. But he looked gray and sick and I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And so on the way home, I was like, when do we ask for a second opinion? Like, at what point do we go, okay, enough is enough. You don't know what's going on, so we need to find somebody that does.
Right.
And the very next day is when we went back and they found out he had the heart defect. And immediately they sent us away. You remember, like, they were like, he has a heart defect. You can't be here. We cannot treat this. We're sending you somewhere else.
Right.
And we were first supposed to go to one place. So it was an hour and a half from our house. Ended up, thank God, being 35 minutes from our house instead. But the first call that we got that was reassuring was from, you know, his cardiologist. And it was like, the first time we felt like we had answers because we didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's a very like core memory in our journey with Miles, because his cardiologist, just like this very calm, cool, collected man, very reassuring, very like speaks in a way that you get it. Doesn't speak at you like you should understand all these doctor terms I'm telling you, like very plain, simple terms. And he also is the one that ordered all the extra tests that then realized Miles, in addition to the heart defect, he had the most extreme version of that heart defect and had two holes in his heart. And so because of that, him ordering all that stuff, they went in better prepared for a surgery. And so yeah, for us, like, this man has been instrumental. And so,
And he was the first doctor you guys had for Miles that gave you any hope.
Right. Like,
he'll be okay.
Like an end point.
Right.
Yeah. Like a way through.
Right. He was the doctor that was like, your baby will be okay. Like, we do need to help him. He does need to be here, but like, I'm going to save your baby.
Right.
And so it's such a reassuring feeling.
Yeah. And he was there like when I signed the consent forms with the surgeon, and he was there, you know, the day he got put under, like he was there for everything.
Right.
Yeah. So that was emotional, but that's okay because I'm sure he's going to go on to do great things for other kids. But yeah, dude, my period has me fucked up.
Yep. Yeah. I remember leaving my pediatric cardiologist. Now, I had the same one from when I was born until I turned 18. I had the same pediatric cardiologist.
That's insane.
But then I turned 18, so I wasn't peds anymore. And so they basically kicked me out. And I was, you feel like this abandonment. Like, no, you've kept me alive. Like, you've been the person that I've like needed to see and like look forward to seeing to like give me news of what's going on with my health. Like, basically, you're the person I've trusted with my entire life, and now I'm being kicked out of this program.
Yeah.
So
wait, no, I can't do it.
Right. And so it was like an abandonment thing. And then when I got an adult cardiologist, she actually just left the facility as well, maybe 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And it was the same thing. I'm like, okay, so now what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? So I ended up finding a new one. Obviously I love him, but yeah, when you lose your cardiologist, it's like this lost abandonment kind of thing.
Right. I don't know. Way more emotional than I thought it would be. I guess I just never thought about that happening maybe too, but
well, yeah, of course. You're still like trying to stay alive. You're not really thinking about switching doctors.
Sam, when I called him on the way home and told him, he's like, oh, okay, so we're moving like to follow the doctor. I was like, literally.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that it was like mostly good news. He still has to stay on his one blood pressure med just because I think it's a super precaution, which I'm fine with. So
yeah.
One day he'll be on no meds. Maybe he won't. Whatever.
It's okay. You get used to it. I've been on medicine for forever.
Totally.
When I was little, even, it's so disgusting. My family still kind of makes fun of me for it. When I was little, like, I couldn't swallow pills, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm like 3, 4, 5. Like, you
can't 3, 4, 5.
Like, you can't swallow a pill. And so I used to chew them.
Yeah.
And even my doctors are like, that is so gnarly. Like, these pills are disgusting. And I'm like, I'm taking them. I don't know what else you want from me.
Right.
So
Sam used to have to chew all his pills until like a year ago. I wonder if that's blowing up his spot too much. Whatever.
Sorry, Sam.
Or like the Dayquil ones, he'll split them open and suck them out. But he said suddenly he's gotten better at swallowing pills. So I'm really excited for him.
Good for you. Bravo. Did you used to have to request like the liquid form like you do for kids?
No, he would just chew it up. I know.
So funny. Well, this has been a very interesting start.
I knew it was going to be a train wreck. When you told me you were on your period this morning too, I was like, yo, we're recording tonight. It's supposed to be like an emotional wreck. Right. I hope everybody knows. Which nobody knows, obviously, but you know, just well wishes.
We just went real deep, real fast on this one. What I thought would bring me a little more joy this week was watching all of our shows.
Right.
I really thought the only one that was great was the Kardashians.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch Dubai. I'll be honest, I'm not watching Atlanta. Like, I'm not into it. So,
no, I haven't watched Atlanta in the last couple of weeks. I'm with you. I'm not into it. I wasn't into it last season. I'm not really into it this season. Like, I don't know. I can't jump on board with it, but I did watch Dubai. It was good. One of the girls, I think her name's Lisa. She did a fashion show. She owns a maternity line.
Oh yeah.
And so she did a fashion show with the maternity line because she's also expanding into regular clothes. She was like, she's like, our maternity line does so well and it's so like popular and all this stuff. And she was like, but you have to think people, obviously they're only buying when they're pregnant and people aren't getting pregnant, but every like 2 to 3 years, right, generally. She's like, right, so any return customers I have only buy clothes every 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Which I never really thought about it, but it makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
So she's now expanding into like non-maternity as well. So she'll kind of do both, which was nice. And her and Chanel Ion, I don't know what to call her, but they're really close friends. And so because she's a model, she did a lot of like the backroom stuff for the fashion show and helped her out a lot with all that.
That's cool.
Which was nice. Stanberry did not show up for the fashion show because she didn't want to.
Okay.
So good for her.
Good for her. Whatever.
And then there was like this whole scene about fries, French fries.
Oh.
So, okay. I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't like
great.
Great.
Yeah.
Same with Beverly Hills. Like it was okay, but it wasn't.
I kind of got a kick out of Beverly Hills though. I don't know why.
I thought that it was funny at the dinner when Diana blew up Sutton,
mm-hmm,
and was like, this, you're a hypocrite. Like here you are with all your messy words. And I was like, yes, thank you, Diana.
I love Diana. I freaking love Diana.
Obsessed.
Like, yes, she's fucking filthy rich, but she also has a good grip on reality, on manners, right, on respect, on communication. Like she's got her shit together. I think it's dope that she has a younger husband and a new baby and her older kids are still super close to her and her new husband and her baby. Like, I just feel like she seems like good mom, good woman. She got dialed.
I agree.
And I appreciate what she says in these moments. She doesn't dig people out. She's like honest. She's like, no, like it's inappropriate. Right.
And I do think like, yes, she sends a whole glam team to set up her room. And yes, she sends she does all these rich things. And I get that. But I also think she's very humble.
Right. And I'm sorry, like if you have endless amounts of money,
why wouldn't you?
And something that you would prefer that makes you enjoy your vacation more is to send a team ahead to get your room ready, then fucking do it. If it makes you happy to make a private jet or to bring a chef or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't find that as like rubbing it in your face or anything like that. I wouldn't take it like that. Like, I just see it as these are her comfort things and she can afford to do that. So let her fucking do it. Like all you other ladies want to buy 800 Birkins. She wants to send her glam team a day early.
Who cares? And she took you on her private jet, by the way, or on a private jet. So
like, I don't, her money to me doesn't, I don't think that it makes her a less, sometimes it makes people really shitty people.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's made her a really shitty person from what we're seeing on the show.
I
think it's just allowed her to be more charitable and more like giving to other people.
And enjoy luxury a little bit.
Right.
As anybody should that gets money. Okay. Right. You do what you want.
Who fucking cares?
Right. So I really like Diana. I was dying for Erica and Lisa Rinna being drunk together on the iPhone FaceTime with
so funny
Kyle. I was dying. They couldn't remember the conversations. And then Erica's like, let me tell you, it was as long as it took for me to have 3 margaritas with her. And Lisa's like, no, you had 3 margaritas? She's like, I think so. I had a lot. Like, it's just so freaking funny and drunk. Like, that's the shit I love to watch. I don't love right. to sit there and watch them like grill somebody.
No.
And make them feel like shit. I'm tired of it.
We've talked about this endlessly, but I want the fun back.
Yes.
I want the fun back in the Housewives. And I think that's what's been lacking. And I think that's why all the ratings are plummeting. Like,
yep.
There's no fun anymore.
And it, my thing is like, I sent you a shot today, like a screenshot today from the iconic, which I don't think you still have not watched the season of New York, when it is New York, like when Crazy Island, when Crazy Island happens York. You have to fucking watch
that season. What season is it?
I don't know. I'll look it up. I think it's 3. You don't need to watch any other season. You don't need to know anything. It is a season in itself. It's iconic.
Okay.
So somebody wrote, this is the last time, like, I miss this Housewives. No glam team, no chef. You're just at a mansion with your girlfriends. Shit goes ham. Like, before anybody cared about shit. And what makes that season so epic is their issues were actual large friendship falling outs, like, within the group.
Right.
And then it was Kelly Ben Simone being a psycho loony and like, are you all right? Does she need medical attention? Like, I don't know. It is untouchable.
Okay. And I'll watch it. It is season 3.
Okay. So when
the whole season?
Yes. The entire season is good. It is the rise and fall of Bethany and Jill. It is everything. Kelly Ben Simone being a psycho. It's just like all of it is gold. It's when.
Okay.
Bethany meets her ex-fiance or ex-husband, like, and she's in like the la-la love phase with him. Yeah, it's good. So I miss that version of Housewives before they give a fuck about sending glam with them or making sure they were in this crazy hotel with penthouse suites and this and this and this. Like, on this season, they go on a crazy trip and Bethany's the one cooking dinner for everyone. You know what I mean? It's just like more authentic girls' trips.
Yes. Which I do like when I think Beverly Hills is the only one that does it. But when they do go on trips, if Kyle plans a trip, generally she cooks the meals, which I like. Like, normal everyday people are not hiring a chef for a girls' trip.
Right.
Like, I know you guys have money, but can we at least have some relatability somewhere?
Yes. Somewhere.
Like, anywhere, please.
Bruno, like, what's going on here? Yes. So you have to watch that season. Everyone listening has to watch that season. And we can do like an episode recap, like mini episode recaps. So fire.
Okay. Awesome.
Did you try Below Deck Under?
Down Under. Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I am like 5 episodes in.
Yes, bitch. Proud of you. Slow clap, everyone, for Liz. Slow clap. We need a.
All right.
What is it called? A sound bite of clapping. Okay, that was so fucking lame. It took me forever. You're into it.
I like it. Yeah, I do like it.
It's entertaining.
I connect with these employees of this boat more. I think when I first started Below Deck, it was like,
you watched some of the shittiest seasons. You don't need to start from the beginning. You can start from any season because it's always a new...
This weird chief stew that's like a psychopath, and then there's this crazy alcoholic blonde girl, and like,
no, see, I don't even know them.
I'm like, what is going on? Like, how does anybody get into this? But
right
now I'm watching Below Deck Down Under, and I like it. I'm into it. I love the chief stew.
Aisha. I love Aisha. So she's been on one other season of Below Deck. I forget which one, but she was not the chief. This is the first time she's the chief stew. So I love seeing her as this chief stew.
Yeah. I really like her. She's an angel. Her and the chef cracked me up. They're like dynamic back and forth. Cause they're like, nobody likes me. Nobody cares what I do. Nobody blah, blah, blah. But they're both like, okay, you're being a little ridiculous, but I'm doing what I can. Like,
yes, so
it's not like these big fights. It's almost like a comical banter kind of thing. Like, yes, they're irritated, but it's more comical. Mm-hmm. The one kid, Benny, is driving
he's the worst.
Absolutely nuts. Like, just kick him off with the shark.
I can't do this anymore. I gotta go. I can't do it. It's like, bro.
Right. I'm on the episode where his toilet overflows.
Yes, that one. Where it's just like waking the captain up in the middle of the night. Like, are you well?
And the captain's like, oh, I've been a plumber. I'm like, what else have you done? Because you seem like really a jack of all trades.
Wow. You seem like a great handy dandy man there, sir. Right. What else are you really handy dandy at?
I love how open he is with his staff.
Right. Like, there's like no hierarchy of like, I'm up here. Don't talk to me. Don't bother me. Hurry up. Get my shit. Like there's also another captain who I'm obsessed with that very much is like older, demands respect. This isn't this, but you get it. Like, yeah, you've earned that. Right. Whereas this captain, I appreciate that. He's like, I'm going to help teach them. I'm going to help grow them. I'm going to help them learn. Like,
right.
But he's also like, no, you were wrong. Like, this is what it is. Right.
Like, I am still the boss, but I can also relate to you. Like, we're around the same age. He's not that much older than the rest of his crew. Like,
right.
I don't know. I really like this captain. I'm into this season. I am good.
I am too. I'm on episode 7. So you've almost caught up with me. And I'm just like, I think shit's about to pop off with this chef.
Oh, shit.
Because I see other Instagrammers watch it and I know that something eventually happens and I'm just waiting for it to happen. So I'm getting excited.
I haven't decided if I like Magda or not. She seems like a mess.
She's a mess.
Like, she seems way more into her phone and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Than she is working. She's very young. And then she's flirting with all the other guys, but then she says she's so obsessed with her boyfriend. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of this weird thing. But I love Toomey.
I love Toomey.
Mm-hmm. So sweet.
She's so sweet. She's so good at her job too.
Right. Like, she's just a hard ass worker. That's like here to get a job done.
Yeah.
So
and she's I really love interior design and this is just what I'm doing. So I can do it occasionally. It's like, that's pretty dope. You know,
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. So yeah, I'm into it. So I've been, because all of the shows that we're watching right now, first of all, there's only three that we're actually watching and they all come out on either Wednesday night or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So for the rest of the week, I've been either watching Below Deck, Down Under, or I restarted New Girl from the very beginning.
So that's been fun.
And I've never watched it straight through. I just kind of watched like episodes here or there, or whatever. So
yeah,
that's been fun to watch.
That's cool. I know I've been bitching about how terrible Miles has been lately, but he has been so much better this week.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck happened. It's like temporarily his body gets taken over by an alien or something. Yeah, no, he got like through his little growth spurt, whatever that was. And he's been like so fun, playing, sleeping better. I still wake up like once, sometimes twice a night, but it's not as brutal.
Right.
So, what, you know, anything is progress at this point.
Anything.
It's just been nice.
Gotta draw it last.
Right. And Sam's parents are so sweet. They're going to take him again tomorrow night. So I'm going to, I took Saturday morning off. I'm going to sleep, dude. I have to sleep.
Yes.
I'm going to take some Tylenol PM, put some earplugs in and just like sleep as long as my heart can.
I love it.
So
I love it.
And then hopefully I wake up a new woman and, you know, good things are going to happen. So you got to keep me updated how you feel though for Sunday. Cause like, maybe I should just pick you up and we could just like go to the coffee shop down in the next town that you've taken to me before. And then I don't know. Maybe there's somewhere nice we can chill down there. But that way we're not far from home in case you don't feel well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'll be okay. If we just like go to do like light walking around and each day is getting better and better, like I said. So hopefully then. And I do have pain meds, so I can always take those too.
I know, but still, I don't want you to be miserable. But I'm excited to hang out.
I am too. I'm ready.
We'll get food somewhere.
Yes.
I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I'm just like, okay, I have to time it with Miles' nap.
Yeah, let's find like a cute, even like a cute downtown area.
Near you?
Wherever. I mean, we're not that far away.
No, I know. That's true. I don't know what I'm thinking.
We only live 20 minutes apart, and that's because there's traffic.
I know. I want to find like a cute coffee shop to go to and like somewhere for lunch. That would be fun.
Okay. We can go by my work. There's a cute, it's really small little coffee shop. And then right across the street, there's either like a barbecue or an Italian spot or just we can go there and they just have like pasta and pizza and all kinds of different stuff.
That sounds good.
We can try that.
Okay. Sure.
So, and it's in like a downtown area.
Okay. I'm down.
We could do that.
Easy.
Done. So yeah. Saturday, I think I told you I'm going to Big Bear, and then Sunday, Girls' Day.
You know, I'm excited to give Sam some time. It's been a wild little bit here. Okay, I want to know what you think about the Kardashians.
I love the Kardashians, and I don't know why. I just love them. fuck. But
shocking.
Yeah, but I'm depressed that it was the last episode. I think they could have done a lot more in the season. Yeah. And I think that they could have expanded a lot more this season if they would have done even like 5 additional episodes.
Right. 10 is quick, man.
It's very fast.
It's very so quick. Fast. What did you think about the way it ended with Chris being like, if you only knew what was going on with my family right now, and it like cuts out? It's like, really?
Well, I mean, it made it seem like that there's going to be more seasons.
Okay. I guess.
Like it was very like,
it alluded to more, but to me, I'm like, okay, so the season's going to be here in like 3 weeks, right? Because why are you teasing us like this? Like, come on.
Right.
But I'm hoping like 3 months, like if we got like a September or something, that'd be dope.
Hopefully.
I hope it's not a whole year, dude. Like the same again next year or something.
No, I hope not.
Did you watch it after, like the scene after the credits with Kim talking to Pete?
Yes, so funny.
That was good. That was really good to do an after credit scene. I'm like, okay, Kardashians.
Right. And so Pete never actually showed his face in this, but she was saying like, this is my producer. I've had her for forever. I love her. And she's talked about Paxi a lot. Like this producer has been talked about in the show many times over the years. She's like, she's probably seen my vagina. And Pete's like, wait, more than me?
Uh-huh.
It's like a funny,
yeah,
I don't know.
She heard his voice on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was cute. So
I liked like when Chloe went over to see Scott. So obviously this episode, we finally see Chloe's reaction and Tristan cheating on her, getting somebody pregnant while they were still together, which Chloe made a really good point that I never really thought about. She was like, you know, this is just the girl that decided to speak up and like had proof that it was him because she literally is carrying his baby. Right. But think about how many more there are that just haven't spoke up. Because he either paid him off or what, this or that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Like, to me, I was just like, oh, here he goes again. But I didn't think about the fact that this could have happened 15 other times during that time.
Yeah, but really,
this girl ended up pregnant.
Really think about this. Like, I guess I didn't put into perspective how much work he had already done with lawyers and this and that, like before it came out in the public.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to be in a full-on relationship living with somebody and them not know that you've had to retain this lawyer and you've been talking to them and you had to write this whole deposition and you've had to do all of this shit, for a child that you knew about and you never had the fucking balls to say one word.
Right.
Like that's a whole, to me, that's a whole other level of deceit.
It is.
It's like, not only are you fucking these random girls and obviously getting them pregnant, but you're lying straight to my face.
Well, yeah. And like when she was saying, I feel like everything was a lie. Every surprise, every dinner, every moment, every date was a lie. And I'm like, it absolutely is. Because it is. Every time you were together, it was a choice not to be honest. Every single time you're together. And it's like, do you have no fucking remorse? Like, you literally do not feel guilt in your gut. Like, that shit would eat me up. It would make me sick to my stomach to just never say anything. It's so gross.
And I was honestly so happy when she was like, he offered to put a down payment on this house. He offered to put his name on this house. She was like, no, I want this for myself. And I was like, good for fucking
you.
Thank
God.
Because shit like this can happen. And then what's he going to do? Sue you for the house that you just built?
Right.
He's going to live next door to your mom?
Right. And she even said, like, all of you kept telling me like that I was just jaded from all the times before, but I knew in my gut something didn't feel right. Right. I'm like, well, good. Like, we thought this whole time she was just being a complete moron. I get that she was fighting for her daughter. And like, I get that sentiment. I'm just glad she finally came to a place where I was like, all right, this is not it. This is not it.
Right. And she definitely did seem more final this time. Like, this definitely seemed like, I know the other times, even right after she had True, she was like, you know, there was just a lot going on. And it was like kind of excuses.
Yeah.
But this time seemed very final, which I'm glad. It should like be
cut and dry.
Should be final.
Which, yeah. And then I like seeing when she went over to Scott's house and they were talking about like, well, look at Kim. Like she found Pete and he's genuinely like one of the nicest guys. He cares about everyone's feelings. Like he surprises her. He does this and that. And I'm like, that is so sweet. Like to think that at 40 something years old, you can finally find like, you know, your happily ever after if it hasn't happened yet. So
I definitely think that Chloe we'll find somebody else. And I definitely think that Chloe will have more children with whoever else that is. Like, I think that Chloe, from what she portrays, she's such an amazing mom. She definitely seems the most hands-on with her child. Well,
I will say
Kylie does too, but
yeah,
I think that Chloe's very hands-on, very open, very loving and compassionate. And I think she'll have more kids. I don't think she'll be a one and done.
I don't either. However, I will say the only thing I don't like that Chloe handles, and maybe this is out of her hands, we just don't know, but I think it's in very poor taste that she does not try to have a relationship with these other children that Tristan has for True's sake, like especially with his previous son, like for them to not be included in holidays or birthdays or like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on with that? There are no pictures of them together.
Yeah, but we don't know if that's by the other mother's choice.
Maybe.
Like that could be a choice of the mothers, or it could be like maybe they are there, but they're not photographed by choice.
Maybe.
So
that's a good point.
Though I think that all siblings, no matter the situation, like they didn't choose to be in that situation and they deserve to have a relationship with their siblings.
That's my point. I agree. I agree with you. But you're right. I guess we don't know the whole story there. I hate to say it, but like Chloe's losing him exactly how she got him by, you know, basically having a baby shortly after he left, you know, his first baby mama, which, okay. I was watching this crazy TikTok today that was saying that like, there's a small group of like Hollywood that's also very intermingled with like the Kardashians. And so apparently Tristan's first baby mama also dated Devin Booker.
Okay.
And Travis Scott also dated a girl that, oh, I can't remember, that Tristan has been with, I think. I don't know. It was just like all these like loopholes together and like how Larsa had been with Tristan, Jordan Woods had been with somebody that Kendall dated way, way long ago. Like it was all this crazy shit intermingling. And I was just like, holy shit, that's wild. Like they talked about how there was that brief moment that like Travis Barker, you know, had a crush on Kim and right. like very much went after her when she was Paris's assistant.
Yes.
So.
I know it's very intermingled and like almost incestuous.
It is.
I do know though that basketball is one of the top sports for infidelity.
I'm sure.
So you're, I mean, I think dating a professional athlete, you're signing up.
You're accepting it.
Well, and you're signing up on some level for their, at the very minimum, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of women throwing themselves and literally not caring about your marriage and just throwing mm-hmm. themselves at your husband.
Well, not only that now, like before in the 90s, early 2000s, it was, you would go on a road trip and women were waiting at your hotel rooms. And that's how like they were having these affairs that they would go out to bars and they meet these women. Whereas right. now it's like everyone's in your DMs. Like right. girls will be waiting. If you see a hot girl and you DM her and you tell her to meet her, you here, she's there, you know, and you right. know the groupies, you know the desperate ones. So now it's even so more accessible. Everyone's yeah, accessible.
It's yeah. scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary.
I agree. And
I would not want that. Like if I were a wife, I'd be traveling.
I couldn't deal with it. I could absolutely not deal with it. I could not have children and be home and be the sole everything.
No.
While you lived your dream. And I would want to support you, but like, that's a lot for me to take on.
Right. Right. I agree.
And feel alone in, you know.
Well, yeah, you would always feel alone I would always feel like I was living a separate life. Like mm-hmm. here I am at home living this life and you're out there living that life. And mm-hmm. we may or may not even talk every day.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't like it.
No.
I wouldn't like it, but.
Not for everybody. For me.
Luckily for us, our husbands aren't professional athletes.
This is true.
So here we are.
This is true. So what was I going to say? So this week, I took the big kids out to breakfast and we were talking about like next year for middle school. We're talking about like, you know, Alakai wants more freedom and this and that, whatever.
Right.
So then I was like, okay, well, your phone, and I was going to say like has GPS on it. Like I can track it wherever you are. And then he was like, oh, you're going to get me a real phone. And I was like, excuse me, you have a real phone.
Right.
And he was just like all irritated. I was like, I'm not getting a phone with social media. It's not going to happen at all. And he was like, I'm just listening, but I can tell he's annoyed. I get why he's annoyed because that's how everyone stays in touch these days. Like texting is not it like it was for us. Like it's Instagram, it's TikTok. Like that's how kids are communicating.
Right.
And he has no access to it. Like it's not possible on the phone he has. And I won't budge on that. Just because of the shit that happens on social media, the kind of stuff you can see, the bullying, the negativity, like it's not going to happen. Like that social pressure on top of already the social pressure at middle school and high school has to be insane.
I agree.
Insane.
I agree. I think even high school may be like a different story. Like your rationale is a little different once you're in high school. And mm-hmm. I think if you haven't had all of those pressures through middle school and elementary school, that I think it may be a little easier to deal with in high school. But I don't think in middle school, I was just telling my little cousin this. So obviously he's here all the time. And he was saying how like the last 2 weeks of his sixth grade. So for us, sixth grade is middle school. And he was mm-hmm. saying how the last 2 weeks were like kind of hard and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, middle school is the worst fucking years of your schooling. Mm-hmm. It's the worst. It's absolutely the worst. I was like, and he was asking like, why mm-hmm. is it like that? And I go, everybody hates middle school. Nobody's going to tell you that they love it. Everybody hates it. Mm-hmm. I go, all of these children are all starting puberty. Mm-hmm. They're all trying to figure out their bodies. They're all trying to figure out what they like and what they dislike. Mm-hmm. They're all need to be a little bit more independent, but you're still a child. Mm-hmm. And
it's a lot.
Now you have all of these hormones rushing through you 24/7. I was like, you don't know what to deal with them, how to deal with them. Your parents don't know how to deal with them with you. You're being an asshole for no reason 1 second, and then you're really nice the next second, and you don't know why. I was mm-hmm. like, it's a rough time for you mentally, and now you have to deal with all of these other kids being the same way.
Mm-hmm. And like, then you add on like the pressure of school, because now you have 7 classes and all this different shit going on and different teachers to deal with. Like, all of it is hard. All of it is hard. What was hard for me in middle school is, actually, I don't think middle school was super bad for me. I did have like a group of girls that wanted to beat the shit out of me because of a boy I liked, which that was scary. But other than that, it wasn't terrible. But I remember parts of it being really rough just socially. Like, socially is the biggest part of it. And maybe it's more so for girls than boys. I don't really remember my boy, like, not boyfriends, but like my guys that were friends. Like, I don't remember their experience, but I remember it being rough. And like, some people that I thought were my friends not being very nice.
Yeah. I agree. And so I kind of had a hard time. I've never really made friends like super easy. Like, I've always had like one close friend. That's about it. That's all I really care to have. Mm-hmm. But when I went from elementary school to middle school, I went to a GATE middle school, like the GATE program. Mm-hmm. And so I transferred across the district, across town. And so none of my friends went.
Yeah.
And then when I went to high school, I went back to the high school I was supposed to be at. I am in the district. So again, I had none of my friends, nothing. Oh, like, I had to start fresh each time.
Right. So
it was hard. Like, it was hard at first. Did I love that program? Yes. Did I learn more than I probably would have in normal middle school? Yes. But it was socially, I'm with you. Socially, it was a fucking disaster.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I'll say the same for high school, but yeah, I'm not willing to add or allow social media to be an added pressure. Like, you can still text your friends. You can still find gifts. No, you can't text TikToks, but maybe you shouldn't be able to text TikToks. TikToks minimum age is 14 plus. Like, you're 11. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
So that's just my stance on it, but I that's hard for me because I want to, you know, help him and have him be social and have him, you know, have friends and this and that, but I don't want to ruin him mentally either.
Right. Well, and I think that's important. I think that he needs to be a little
balanced.
Not that he's not, but no middle schooler is stable mentally.
No. Right.
They're a wreck. So I think that he just kind of needs to be a little more emotionally stable and
mature.
You're right.
I got so sad today because I was like randomly looking through old photos of the bigger kids, like when they were little.
Uh-huh.
I was putting on my story.
Insta story, yeah.
And I was seeing Alki, like, even just like the way he like looks at me in photos, like, that little boy is gone. And it like totally broke my heart today.
Thinking
about it.
Because you shouldn't do this while you're on your period.
I know. But it just makes me sad because I'm like, shit, man, like, he's a legit preteen.
Yeah.
And like, yes, we still have a relationship, but like, he's going through stuff that he's not going to want to always talk to me about.
Right.
And it's not cool to hug me or kiss me or, you know, cuddle on the couch anymore. It still happens here and there, but it's not the same as when they're 3, 4, 5 years old.
Right.
Yeah. So that like broke my heart a little bit. I'm like, fuck.
No.
He's like closer to driving than being like, you know, my little bud that he was for so long. So,
well, and I think it's I think you have a different connection with him, first of all, because he's your firstborn, but also you and him have been through so much together.
Right.
That you're kind of still holding on to all of that. And I mean, he doesn't know any different. He's obviously just getting older. I think this is just like the really hard time for, I mean, I would assume this is like the hardest time for a parent. Like, now your child is becoming more independent and more this. And I think once kids get probably around 24 or so, they not to be like a downer, but that you kind of revert back. Like, look at your relationships with your parents. I know mine changed tons. Like, I've always been close with my mom, but my mom was not always my best friend.
Right.
And so, but once I turned probably 23, 24, I just felt so much more confident confiding in her and inviting her to things, like wanting to be around her again and things like that. So it's just hard, like, as a kid, you want your independence and you don't want to feel like your parents are always telling you what to do and blah, blah, blah. And you're just trying to kind of feel out where you're supposed to be. But I think it's equally as hard for a parent because
it is.
You're still like grasping at straws for your baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a bizarre time. Like, and I felt like it came so freaking fast because I'm like, dude, he's in middle school.
Right.
Like, I am not well. And I know, and everyone's like, well, you still have a baby. And like, you're going to go through it again. I'm like, yeah, but you never have your first back.
No, it's not the like, same.
No, it's not the same. And, but every child for me will be freaking hard. Like, yeah.
I know you were but posting that's the those same way. She's like, baby P too. And I was like,
I know. She's like a full grown little lady. It's wild. Yeah. Sam was like, you know, boys always come back to their moms in their 20s. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I have to wait 10 more years. Right. Like, that's brutal. Cool. He's like, it is brutal. And it's not going to be easy. But yes, they will come back around. And right. then they'll have grandkids for you. And I'm like, ugh, I don't like this part of it.
No. Well, and while he's 11, it's hard to, like, rationalize grandkids.
Right. That's not.
He's 11.
I know. So.
What a time.
Wild. It just feels unfucking real.
Fucking time. Oh my goodness. Real fast. This is off topic, but did you see that headline that was posted this week about Gina from The Real Housewives of OC?
Yes.
And her boyfriend.
Yes, you know about it.
So I read a little bit. Basically, he called the cops on her for domestic violence.
No, he didn't call the cops on Gina.
Oh, wait. I thought that's what happened.
No.
Okay, go explain.
What happened was his ex-wife withheld his kids from him, wouldn't return them on their return date.
Okay.
And he started to freak out. Like, they weren't at school. Basically, she kept them home from school because he was going to pick them up from school. And then they were going to go celebrate Gina's birthday. Okay. And the wife didn't want the kids going. So, or the ex-wife didn't want the kids going. So she did not take them to school that day. And when he was messaging her, like, you're going against court orders. Like, we have to meet up. You have to tell me what's going on. You can't just keep the kids from me. She was saying, you can come meet me and we can talk about this. Like, we need to protect the well-being of our kids. They don't want to be around her. They don't want to be around you guys, like, claiming all this stuff. And he was saying, that's crazy. Like, 5 days ago when I had them, we were planning Gina's birthday. They were so excited. So I don't know what you're talking about, basically.
Okay.
So he filed a police report on her for not giving the kids back. Well, now she's claiming, the ex-wife is claiming, that Gina pushed her boyfriend down the stairs and the kids saw, and now they don't want to go over there. So that is currently what is out in the public.
Okay.
We don't know if that's true or not. That is what the ex-wife is claiming the kids told her. But it's not a good look.
Not a good look. It doesn't look good. Especially because her whole storyline for a season was about her ex-husband abusing her, and she filed report on him. She had mm-hmm. to do this victim statement, and it was like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's hope that she didn't push him down the stairs, but I mean, we don't know. I don't want to not give the ex-wife the benefit of the doubt. Like, how do we know that the kids aren't really saying, like, I don't like it over there. I don't want to go over there. Please, mom, right. I want to stay with you. And like, that's a conflicted situation to be in as a mom. What do you do? You know?
Right.
Do you continue to make your kids go over there or not? Or are the kids just saying that? Or are you saying that because you're bitter? It's like, where's the truth?
Exactly.
That's hard.
It would be a hard situation.
Yep.
For oh, sure. Fuck.
But yeah, it's messy right now. I saw like some stuff in the headlines. So I started reading about it. I was like, oh my God, if Gina really did some of this shit, that's not going to go well. No. First of all, if she really did that, I don't think her boyfriend would stay with her, but I mean, who knows? Who knows?
I mean, she stayed with her ex for a while when yeah, he true. Was a piece of shit. Another messy thing real fast is the Southern Charm first 5 minutes came out today.
Dude.
I'm just getting more and more excited.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be such a hot mess.
I'm so excited.
I am too. I'm like, really interested in this Craig Page Naomi love triangle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't it doesn't seem like Craig was all in on one thing or the other.
Ever. Right.
Which is not abnormal for Craig, but it's I don't know.
Not fair to Paige.
No. Or Naomi.
Right. But the way that Naomi talks about it is like she knew there was a Paige and didn't care because she's rebounding. But who knows? We'll find out more. But I'm amped for Southern Charm.
So excited.
Fucking finally. Southern Charm.
I know. People sleep on Southern Charm, even Bravo. Like, they're not trying to film them. They're not trying to do all this stuff. Like,
ridiculous.
We need more.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because it is a really good group of people.
So good.
So good. Okay. So, we'll be in touch about our plans on Sunday.
Yeah, we will. I'll text you about it. Thanks, guys, for listening to another episode of Relatable Reality. Sorry, we got a little personal today.
Emotional.
A lot of emotions, a lot of shit going on this week, but we hope you enjoyed it anyways. Let us know if you have any thoughts. DM us at Relatable Reality Podcast on Instagram or comment, like, subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast app, and Spotify. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.